ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवेत्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। So last week we did the introduction to the fifth chapter, and the first two shlokas. It starts with Arjuna asking Bhagwan that which is superior, sannyas, that is renunciation, or karma yoga? Because sometimes you say renunciation is better, sometimes you say karma yoga. So tell me which one is Shreya, which one is better? And tell me clearly, without any doubts. Tanme bruhi sunishchitam. And then Bhagavan says that both are good. Sannyas is also good and karma yoga is also good. And both will take you to the higher goal of life. But for you, Arjuna, karma yoga is better because you are not yet ready for sannyas. You want to put on orange clothes, drop all your weapons and go to the forest. But right now you still have a lot of desires, you have a lot of vasanas, you have a lot of tendencies. So exhaust them with karma yoga, working without I, me or my, dedicated to Bhagwan as an instrument. And then once your mind is quietened and purified with karma yoga, then you can think about sannyas. That's, we had covered that last time. So today now Bhagavan will continue to tell us about sannyas. And also he will introduce a new term called Sankhya. So what is Sankhya? That even though Arjuna has not asked, but Bhagavan feels that that is essential for him to know. So we'll do chapter 5, shloka number 3. नेय सनित्य सन्यासी यो न द्वेष्टि न कांक्षति निर्द्वन्द्वो हि महाबाहो सुखं बन्धात् प्रमुच्यते नित्यसन्यासी यो न द्वेष्टि न कांक्षति निर्द्वन्द्वो हि महाबाहो सुखं बन्धात् प्रमुच्यते. सो ज्ञेय भगवान सेज दिस इज समथिंग फॉर अस टू नो. प्लीज नो दिस. व्हाट हु इज अ नित्य सन्यासी? हु इज अ सन्यासी? ऑलवेज अ सन्यासी. नॉट सन्यासी पार्ट टाइम लिटिल बिट हियर एंड देयर, बट हु इज ऑल द टाइम इन दिस एटीट्यूड ऑफ रेनन्सिएशन. And we'll talk about what is this renunciation and what is sannyas. So he says, we think sannyasi is what? Put on orange clothes, go to the forest to meditate. But Bhagavan gives a very different meaning. He says, who is sannyasi? Yaha, the one who na dveshti na kangshati, does not hate and does not desire. So two things. He does not hate anybody. He does not have any desires. Then nirdvandvo, and he is balanced in the pair of opposites. He means indeed, O Mahabaho, he calls Arjuna the great warrior. One who is does not hate, does not desire, is balanced in the pair of opposites. You know, pair of opposites we know, up and down, health and ill health, heat and cold, at the body level, at the mind level, joy and sorrow, and at the intellect level, success and failure. So we always are going through these pairs of opposites. When things are going well, I'm happy. When things are not going well, I become depressed. And then I say, why God is doing this? All the times when things were going well, we never asked, why is God doing this? All these years, but suddenly one thing that I did not. And Bhagavan says, and the scriptures tell us that Bhagavan will give us what we deserve, not what we desire. If you deserve it, you will get it. And that's the whole karma yoga principle. The whole universe works on this principle of karma. So the one who is balanced in the pair of opposites, and then what happens to him? Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Easily, sukham means here easily, bandhat pramuchyate. He gets freed from all the bondages. So four things. Does not hate, does not have desire, is balanced in the pair of opposites, and is free from bondage. So sannyasi, Bhagavan has given us four things. So it's more than, because for us, we are family, we have a family. We can't put on orange clothes and leave the family and go to the forest. So how am I to live a life of renunciation? Renunciation means I'm not too much dependent on things, beings, and how I can remain detached while doing all my duties. That is sannyas. That one is to remain detached. Other thing is, what between karma yoga and karma sannyas, karma yoga is when I do that action, I do not worry about the result. I put my best effort, whatever I want. And then while doing the action, I'm not thinking about the result. When the result comes, I take it as Bhagavan's prasad. Does not mean I do a half-hearted job. I have a goal, I do my best, but at the end, leave it up to Bhagavan. That is karma yoga. So not thinking about the fruit or the result. And what is sannyas? In Vedanta, sannyas also means there is no doership. Like I am doing it. See, a true sannyasi who has given up everything, for him, there is no doership. I am doing this. I did this. No, it is all Bhagavan is doing. And I am an instrument. So that is the true sannyas. Where he is, even that I did it, even that he gives up. Not only he gives up other things, but even the doership. And so that is the sannyas. So he neither hates nor desires. Desires means, you know, three things we desire. Vastu, Vyakti Paristhiti. Vastu means I want this thing. I want this car. I want this house. I want that. Vyakti is I want this person, that person. If he, this person is in my life, I'm happy. If this person is in my life, I am unhappy. See, so the one who remains balanced, that is, and then the third is paristhiti. So I don't depend on vastu for happiness. I don't depend on vyakti. That means objects or people. And paristhiti means situations. If I get this job, I'm happy. Or if I have this, I put my best effort and ultimately I'll get what I deserve. So to hold on to that, this alone I need, then that is paristhiti. So this person is free from all of them. So what is the difference between karma yoga and karma sannyas? So we'll use the example of Lexus. Now say you go to a Lexus dealer, he also has Camry, he has both. So you tell him, I want a Lexus. He says, how much money you have to spend? He says, I have 30,000. He says, sorry, you can't get a Lexus. You can get a Camry for 30,000. If you want Lexus, you need 60,000. But they are same. See, they are similar. The engine is same, the factory they are made is same. Only thing, Lexus is little higher quality of, all the bells and whistles and things like that. But basically, they are one. There's not that much difference. So if you at this moment you have 30,000, take Camry, and then maybe in a few years you can accumulate 60,000, then you can trade in your Camry and get a Lexus. So similarly, for us, we start with Karma Yoga because that is our Camry. I do Karma Yoga, and then as I'm mature in Karma Yoga, as I collect more good karmas, purity of mind, then I can slowly withdraw even the doership. So sannyas again does not mean I run away from the world, but do not depend on the world for my happiness. So that is our the Lexus. So that is for us. Now, how to be the same in pairs of opposites? I have a little long story. It's a very beautiful story. Actually, it's true story. It was one of my patients. He was the running back for football, NFL. He was the running back, and he was number one in the country. All the records he had broken, and his team was doing so well. Of course, the whole team was good, but because of his effort, he took the team all the way to the Super Bowl. And a whole country, praised him and all. And he's my patient. I retired now, but and it so unfortunately happened that he was carrying the ball over the goal line, and he fumbled just before the touchdown, just before he fumbled the ball, and so his team lost, and the other team won. So, that's a big tragedy, right? The whole country is watching, and you fumble right before the goal line, and the other team won. And so the whole country remembers him for the fumble. He fumbled on the Super Bowl. But all these years, what good things he did, people don't remember. And so this, then he became, after a year or two, they dropped him, from football. So he came back to Bakersfield, and he said, I want to become a teacher. I want to help students. So he took his teaching credentials, and he did such a good job. Just as he was the best running back and teacher, he was the best teacher in whole of California. He got an award, and he never once complained, the NFL didn't treat me good, or they got rid of me, or you ask him, how are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He used to come and see me. Then slowly his teaching also declined because he had got so many head injuries that he started getting, his mental condition was not that perfect. So he couldn't teach. And then he couldn't swallow because of again. So he came to me. So then I wrote him a letter that this person has football injuries. And so the NFL gave him some benefits. And even then, when he comes to see me, he's smiling. Oh, I am blessed. You know, he's lost his football, he lost his teaching, and never complained. You know, that's what, you know, that's what called being the same in pairs of opposites. One time he was on top, second time he is bottom. But he is always thankful to Bhagwan. He says, God is kind to me. So what in our case, we get upset over small things. Today my coffee was cold, or my dal got burnt, or I got too much traffic. You know, little things, we get so upset. Oh, Wi-Fi nahi kaam kar raha. You know, and we get so upset about it. Wi-Fi, so it's not working. So they say that, look at the example of these people. He was not a monk or a saint or anything, but how he was able to see all the pairs of opposites and remain the same, physically, mentally. So that is what they say. And how do we get bound? You know, he says, na, sukham bandhat pramuchyate. How do we get bound? Indriyasya indriyasyarthe raga dvesha vyavasthitau tayorna vasham agache tau hyasya paripantino. Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita that these sense objects, when the senses see the objects, then what happens? I like something, I don't like something, this is mine, this is not mine. And so we all the time distinguish, and then we get upset. And then it creates a bondage. You know, I run towards this, I run away from what I dislike. And so our mind is all the time going through this ups and downs. He says, Tayorna vasham agache, don't come under the influence of these sense objects and pair of objects and pair of opposites, because they are like your enemy, because they will take you down from your spiritual goal. The idea is that you do your best. Not that if something bad happened, I don't try to fix it. I fix it, but if it cannot be fixed, that's fine, Bhagwan. That's what I deserve. So then you get, but we get so bound even over small things, like, you know, people will go to a retreat. You know, like Chinmaya Mission has 1 week retreats in Northern California. And so people go there and, you know, it's not a very big room. They don't have space for 200, 300, 400 people, maximum 80. So they may have 50, 60 people. And so one person will take a, you know, front row corner chair and sit there for 2, 3 days. And the fourth day, when that man comes, somebody else is sitting on that chair. So he says, oh, why did he take my chair? I mean, when did it become your chair? I mean, till 3 days ago, you know, it's so, we get so attached to things. This is mine, you know, and the same way, it can be 3 days or it can be 30 years, you know, a house also is my house, but ultimately I have to give it up, just as that chair I have to give up. So don't be too attached to things. And how do we live with sannyas? I heard a very beautiful example. In Kerala, they have jackfruit. And jackfruit, if you cut it and if you touch it, it gets stuck to your hand. And if you eat it, it gets stuck to your mouth and you can't even move or chew. So what do? They put oil on the hand and put a little oil on the lips and tongue. And so then they can comfortably eat the jackfruit, cut the jackfruit. And so same way you and I are so caught up in our likes and dislikes that we can't function in the world. I like this person. I don't like, I have this problem, that problem. So they say, put the oil of detachment, put the oil of sannyas, that then, you know, things will not bother me, because then I am not dependent on, I'm dependent on Bhagwan. See, that is, and we will talk about Ashraya in the next shloka, but I depend on Bhagwan, and that is it. And so nothing else. And in the 15th chapter, where they talk about this tree, you know, this world is like a tree where God is above, the root is above and the world is below. And there it says that these roots, this tree bind us. We get so pulled also. I get so bound, I get dependent, I get so strena dridhena chitva. This tree samsara is binding you because the roots use the axe of detachment to cut it so that I am not bound by this portable, remain fine and watch the world, you know, see the world and see what is happening, and then the world will not bother you, the world will not affect you. And that is the essence of this particular shloka, that who is a sannyasi who does not hate, who does not desire, oh no, by getting this I'll be happy or I'll be complete. No, I'm fine. And then, like we said, I get what I deserve. I put all the effort. He does not hate. Sorry. He does not hate. He does not desire. He's balanced in the pairs of opposites and is free of bondage. So these are the four qualities of a sannyasi. And then he has no doership, that I am doing it, Bhagavan is doing it. So that is all. And then when you work with detachment, then your work in the world is better. Like when you have oil, you can eat jackfruit, the same way you can deal with the world better. If you are detached, if you are too attached to something or somebody, then like Gurudev used to say, don't put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket. If I have this person, I'm happy, or this object, I'm happy, then I get dependent. So they say, live independently. So this is shloka number 3. Now Bhagwan will introduce a new term called Sankhya. We have heard about Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyas. Now what is this Sankhya? So we'll see shloka number 4. Chapter 5, number 4. Sankhya Yoga Prithak Balaha.
Sankhya Yoga Prithak Balaha.
Pravadanti na panditaha.
Pravadanti na panditaha.
Ekam apyasthita samyak.
Ekam apyasthita samyak.
Ubhayor vindate phalam.
Ubhayor vindate phalam.
Together.
Sankhya
yoga prithak balaha. Pravadanti na panditaha ekam apyasthita samyak ubhayor vindate phalam. So now he's introduced a term called Sankhya, which Arjuna had not asked, but Bhagavan feels that Arjuna and we all need to know this term Sankhya. So Sankhya and Yoga, two. Sankhya Yoga. When he says Gau, that means he's talking about two things. Sankhya and Yoga. Prithak. Balaha. Pravadanti na panditaha. Children think that Sankhya is different and Yoga is different. But wise people don't. Like, you know, but wise people don't. And what is the difference between Sankhya, Sannyas and Karma? So people think these are three separate things, or Sankhya and Yoga are two separate things. Pravadanti, the Bala, the children think like that. Children means not children in age, but those who are not mentally that evolved, that smart. The thinking is little lower level of thinking. So people who think that these are separate, they are like children. Because prapanditaha, pandit means here the wise people, they don't think that there is a difference between Sankhya and Yoga. Why do we say there is no difference? We will see that there is a difference, but at the end, they will show us that it is not different. Ekam api asthita samyak. Samyak means very well asthita station. Ekam api, even in one out of the two, if you are stationed in that, ubhayoho vindate phalam. You get the benefit of both. If you do karma yoga very well, you will reach Sankhya. If you do Sankhya very well, karma yoga will automatically come. So you will get the phalam, you will get the fruit of both. And when they say phalam as ek person, means the fruit ultimately will be one, because they both will take you towards the higher, but one will be a little more advanced than the other. So what is Sankhya? Now, Sankhya is a term that, was popularized by Kapil Muni. Kapil Muni popularized this term. And what he there are six schools of philosophy. So one of in our scriptures, in our Vedas, one of them is Kapil Muni Sankhya philosophy. But there what he said was that creation happens because of two things working together, Prakriti and Purusha. That was the Sankhya philosophy. Prakriti means matter and Purusha means spirit. So together both are required for creation, and he felt both are equal. But then Vedanta says that yes, Prakriti and Purusha are both necessary, but Purusha is superior. Purusha is the creator of Prakriti. Purusha means spirit or Bhagwan or whatever you want to call it. So they are both necessary. In this world also, there is the cell phone, but then in the cell phone there is a battery, which you have to charge. Without the battery, the cell phone won't work. So they are both necessary. So same way, matter means the hardware on the phone, and spirit is the software, you can call it the software, whatever that. So both are necessary. And so that is one. Then the other thing about Sankhya is that Karma Yoga is action at the body level. Then from Karma Yoga, you evolve to sannyas. You give up attachments. And then third is Sankhya. Sankhya here means knowledge. That's why the second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. So Sankhya in the Bhagavad Gita, when Bhagavan Sri Krishna mentions, he says that is knowledge. So the highest knowledge of, that's why in the second chapter, which is the first beginning of his teachings, immediately he takes him to the highest level of knowledge. So that is what. So the knowledge that we have through these scriptures is the highest knowledge, and that is called Sankhya. Sankhya here means Atma or consciousness. That consciousness I am, and that understanding one should have. So Sankhya means consciousness, means that. And the knowledge of both are important. You start with, as we said, Karma Yoga. Then you do live with some sannyas, less dependent. And ultimately, you go to the highest knowledge, Sankhya. And that knowledge we cannot acquire by ourselves. We have to go to a teacher. So somebody like Swami Chinmayananda Ji, who has written the commentary, a lot of you have that. So going to a teacher, and then if you can find a live guru, somebody you can go learn from them. So learning from a teacher will give you this highest knowledge, and then you can abide in that. So when we meditate upon that I am that consciousness, I am not this body. And once you are firmly established in this, then you do not get disturbed. See, as we said, we get disturbed over small, small things. But one who is established in this wisdom that I am not this body, I am the Atma, I am the consciousness, I am this Om, and this body is my equipment, the body, mind, intellect, then the body fluctuations or mind or intellect do not affect him too much. Like a car is my instrument, so I drive the car. Now car became old and it breaks down. I say, okay, it's okay, I'll go get a new car or either get it fixed or... So same way, when a person knows this body, mind, intellect are my equipment, then he does not get easily disturbed. Because he said, I am that Atma, so how, I will not be disturbed. The body will have some health and ill health, mind will have some upsets, intellect will have some upsets. But I am beyond. So he goes beyond those things. But for that, one has to completely practice it. You cannot do a half-hearted job, you know. Like they say, you're doing karma yoga, then do 100% karma yoga. Do very good service, help others, give up this doership. And same thing with sannyas, you know. Live a life of detachment. While working in the world, but I am detached. So completely, and then Sankhya, the highest where I get the knowledge, that also has to be the complete, perfect knowledge of the scriptures. You cannot have a half-hearted. It's like when we tell our children, you know, we tell our children, if you want to go and say, get to a good college, you want to go to Ivy League, or you want to go to medical school, or, you know, one of the top engineering colleges, you have to work hard. Put all your effort. You can't say, theek hai, ho gaya to ho gaya to ho gaya, nahi hua. No, you have to completely tell the children, look, you have to work seriously. You can keep up with your homework, keep up with your grades, do all those things, study very well. Then you will be successful in your college, in your career, in life. So same way in spirituality also, we have to have complete, continuous and complete effort. That's why they say, Dirgha Kale, for a long period of time, and 100% effort. See, same way we tell the children, you know, you want to be go to a good college, you have to work hard 100%. If you say, okay, theek hai, mil gaya, then you will end up going to some, you know, ordinary college. So same way in spirituality, see, there we or when we have our own business, then we work very hard. It's my business. I have to work hard to be successful. But in spirituality, we say, theek hai, you know, abhi toh I'm still young. Maybe after 65, I'll see. Or for Hindus, for us, maybe next life. You know, this life, we have a very good answer. This life, I can't do it. Next life. Tab dekhe. Next life, you don't know. We may be born as a buffalo or a mosquito, or, you know, we don't know. So you have this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. You have this life. You have a human intellect, ability to think. So apply that and do it 100%. And then they say that in this path, the fruit comes from God. Ubhayor vindate phalam. So fruit ultimately, that's why even Raman Maharishi says, kartur ajnaya prapyate phalam. I put my effort, but ultimately the result comes from God. Of course, God will give me the right result based on my karmas, because this is a karma bhumi. So whatever effort I put, I will get the result. I may not get the result right away. Example, I was just listening to one Swamiji. If he says, I ask something from God, and he can give me four answers. God, I want this. One is yes. Other one is no. You know, you don't deserve it, or you know, no. You know, you are not qualified. Like in a race, nine people are running in the Olympics. Only one wins the gold medal. The other eight do not. So either yes or no. Or third one is later. Right now, you keep doing the effort. I'll give you the result later when you have put in enough effort. And fourth one is Bhagwan will say, you don't need that. I'll give you something better. So Bhagwan can give four replies. Yes, you can have it. No, you can't have it. Later, you can have it. You know, I'm giving you something better. So make our ashraya Bhagwan. Make God our refuge. You know, make God our ashraya, our support. He's the one, or it could be she, you know, somebody worships the mother goddess. So God is the one we generally use he, but you know, like Mother Saraswati or Mother Durga. So God is the one who has to be my main support. And then the world cannot touch me. You know, look at Mirabai, Mere to Giridhar Gopal, Dusra na koi. Tukaram, you know, Vitthal, Vitthala, Vitthala. He used to all the time do that. And did not depend on the world. There is a story of Tukaram. I have told it a while back, but I just quickly go over it. So he took his he hardly used to work. He was all the time singing Vitthala songs, composing bhajans, abhangas, you know, with a lot of knowledge, you know, sharing with everybody. And his wife used to say, "Kya, you know, you don't even work, you don't even make much money. We are." So one day, one time, one guy gives him a job. He says, "Oh, Tukka, you don't have a job?" He says, "No." He says, "Okay, you watch my crops, you know, because the birds come. So you, in the daytime, you stay at my, you know, I'll give you like a machan, you know, like a place to sit on top. And from there, you can watch my field and make sure that none of the birds eat my grain. And I'm going to be gone for 2-3 months. I'll come back. And by that time, it will be time to harvest the grain. So, you know, then, and whatever we harvest, we'll take half and half. You take half for your labor, and I'll take half because it is my land." So he said, "Okay." Tukaram sat down, this owner of the field went away. And Tukaram, after a while, he started singing his bhajans, you know, abhangas, and singing and Vitthala and all. He forgot about that, what job he was supposed to do. And so the birds came and they were picking the grains, and he absolutely had no idea. He was just lost. And so he did that for 3 months. And then the owner came back and he said, "Oh, what did you do? Look, all my crops have been eaten by the birds. I put you in charge. Get out of here. You're not going to get anything because I don't have it." And it was still a month or two before the harvest was to happen. Said, "My whole crop is destroyed and you are this and all." He gets very angry. And then a month or two later, when the harvest time comes, they keep harvesting and more grain comes out of that. More and more grain. The more he picks, the more. And he gets huge harvest, much bigger than he has ever got. And he says, "Oh, this must be the Tukaram's, you know, some blessing." So he calls him, apologizes, and shares, you know, "Okay, this is half is yours." So the point is that Bhagwan will give us, you know, what we deserve. It may not happen exactly when we want, but we have to make him our ashraya, make him our refuge. God is my refuge. And that ultimately God alone is, you know, I cannot do anything by myself. Even my talking is because of Bhagwan talking through me and Gurudev. The knowledge, even you're listening, Bhagwan is listening through you. So actually we cannot do anything. So that has to be our refuge. And so that is how, and then we carry on our life, continue our life, but making God our refuge, making God our ashraya. So that is a very beautiful word. Ashraya means, you know, they say, na, tera hi sahara hai, you are the one. So that is the attitude. That's what Tukaram had, that Mirabai, all the great saints have that attitude. So that is shloka number 4, that even if you put effort in one or the other, ultimately you will grow. But what is the connection between karma yoga, karma sannyas, and sankhya? So in the 5th one, Bhagwan will tell us, Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam.
Yat sankhyai prapyate sthanam.
Tad yogairapi gamyate.
Tad yogairapi gamyate.
Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha.
Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha.
पश्यति स पश्यति
पश्यति स पश्यति
टुगेदर यत् सांख्यै प्राप्यते स्थानम् तद्योगैरपि गम्यते एकं सांख्यं च योगं च यः पश्यति स पश्यति सो यत् सांख्यै तो दैट स्थानम् प्राप्यते स्थानम् दैट गोल विच इज ऑब्टेन बाय सांख्य प्राप्यते मीन्स इज ऑब्टेन तत् योगैहि अपि गम्यते व्हाट हाईएस्ट अबोर्ड यू गेट विथ सांख्य यू कैन ऑल्सो गेट विथ योगा एंड एकम सांख्यम च योगम च एक्चुअली द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ बोथ ऑफ देम इज वन सांख्य एंड योग कर्म योग यह पश्यति स पश्यति वन हु सीज ही सीज सो हाउ आर दे वन यू नो सो द एग्जाम्पल दे गेव इट इज लाइक यू गो टू कॉलेज एंड यू यू डू बैचलर्स After graduation from bachelor's, you go to master's. After master's, you do your PhD. In all those three, the goal is one, the highest goal, you know, that after I finish my PhD, I'll get a professor's job or, you know, research or something. But it is serial. You cannot directly go to master's or directly go to PhD. You have to finish high school and you do bachelor's. Then you do master's, then you do PhD. So, same way, karma yoga is the first step. It is like bachelor's. And then having done karma yoga, you can then develop detachment, give up doership, and then develop sankhya as the third. Sankhya is like the PhD. So, having done karma yoga, you do karma sannyas, and you go to Sankhya, which is like the PhD. But only difference between spirituality and this PhD that sometimes some students, rarely, you know, after they finish their college at age 25, they give up their family and go to Mumbai, go to Bombay and study for 2 years. And they directly take sannyas. So yeah, if you are ready for that, you know, and that also they will test you, they will check with you, they will talk to you and make sure you are qualified. Same way also, you know, sometimes if somebody is very brilliant, you know, he can shorten this, his college time or his high school. Like some people do college courses in high school. So if they are qualified, but so that is what they are saying, that it is serial from bachelor's to master's to PhD from Karma Yoga to Karma Sannyas to Sankhya, but you have to, generally for majority of people, they have to go through all the three. You cannot directly go, like very rare person can go directly to Masters or PhD. He has to have a lot of qualifications. So here also. So, and the study one has to do. How do we get Sankhya, the knowledge? By systematic study. Going to a teacher, and we see in Mundak Upanishad, you know, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan Brahmana. A wise Brahmana means a seeker of Brahman. He goes to the teacher having seen that the world is not going to give me joy. And then he goes to a teacher. So, same way. We have to understand that the world can only give you limited joy. If you want unlimited joy, highest joy, you have to go to Bhagwan. And then sthanam, sthanam, you know, sthanam means place, right? Sthana. In Hindi also they say, isthan pe hai ye. So sthanam is a place. So people think that when they say sthanam, that means I'll be some place at some time in the future. I will be sitting in, you know, in Kailash Ashram, or in Kailash, you know, in the Tibet, and I'll be meditating, and then Bhagwan will appear, you know, and there'll be a light shining, and then I'll open my eyes, he'll say, Bhagwan will say, child, ask what you want. I'll say, Bhagwan, I already got what I wanted, I don't need anything more. So we have all these ideas about, even though in the Puranas they say, oh, after so many years, Bhagwan appeared. But generally, it's not a place, it is not a particular time, it is a change of understanding. That so it's not, you don't have to go to a particular place, you can go for pilgrimage and all, but you don't have to, only there I will get enlightenment, or only at that time on Ekadashi day when I'm fasting. It's not a, though all those things are good, pilgrimage, fasting and all, but to think that at a particular place or a particular time after so many years I will get, none of that. You just keep doing your effort, surrender to Bhagwan, and when Bhagwan finds us ready, as we said, there are four things he should do. Yes, no, later, and I have something better. So Bhagwan will give us what we deserve, and that sthanam is nothing else but a change of understanding. I grow in my maturity, in my physical, while in, of course, in bachelor's, master's, you have to go to college and maybe go to a postgrad courses and all. But here, you can, staying in your house or staying where you are, you can do that. So that is called. And then they say that in spirituality, there are two things, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means going towards and doing something. Nivritti means withdrawing. I don't have to do. So in karma yoga, it is a life of pravritti. I have to do something. You know, I have to serve the world. I have to do this, do that. And I have to evolve as I serve the world. Without ego, then my mind becomes pure, and in a pure mind, the knowledge will come. All those things are pravritti. And nivritti is, as we said, somebody who is that qualified where he does not need to work in the world, and he can take sannyas, you know. Or even for us, may not be in young age, but say after retirement, you know. After age 50 or 60, slowly you cut down your work. Slowly spend more and more time in spirituality and less time in work. That is nivritti. That I've left my job, I don't need as much. May I cut down my hours, maybe work part-time 3 days a week, or, you know, 6 hours a day. And the extra time I have, spend it in spirituality. And ultimately, the goal of everyone should be that to give up the work and do spirituality full time. Even at a later age, it can be done. So that is called nivritti, where pravritti marg and nivritti marg. So pravritti is doing, nivritti is withdrawal. And both paths can work depending on your mental status. Even enlightened masters, like Swami Chinmayananda, he traveled constantly from 1950 to 1993, 43 years, constantly. Every week he was in a new country, every day in a new city, giving talks, you know, all over the world. And then Raman Maharishi just stayed in one place, and people used to come and just be in his presence and learn. So one is pravritti and one is nivritti, but that is depending on their nature. It's not that one is superior to the other. Realize masters are all at the same level. But one may choose to work, one may just, Raman Maharishi used to just stay in the temple, and thousands of people would walk by and get blessed, you know, with his presence. So he was doing as much service, but not running around. So, you know, depends on your nature. So that is called pravritti or nivritti. And then he says, ya pasyati sa pasyati. Pasyati means seeing. But here, when Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita says pasyati means understands. So like, suppose I have a difficult math problem and I'm not able to solve it. So I go to my teacher and he solves it for me. And say, oh, I see now how the problem is. It's not that he has seen the problem, but he has understood. So So here, when he says pashyati, means not seeing, but understanding. So that is called pashyati. And that is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is something I learned from my teachers on the scriptures. And wisdom is when I apply that in my life and make my life better. So it has to be a transformation. Bhagavad Gita should not only be studied just for study, but it should create a transformation in my life. My life should change, should get better. Then only knowledge becomes wisdom. Otherwise, knowledge just remains in the brain or remains in the book. But I read the book, and bring it into my mind and intellect, and then I apply that. That is three things you have to do. First, study, then contemplate, and then apply that. What they call as shravana, manana, nididhyasa. So knowledge and wisdom, that is the difference. Knowledge is it's there in the book, or I have heard it. Okay, I understood. But how do I make a change in my life? That is wisdom. And, you know, in Rome, they used to say all roads lead to Rome. You know, Rome, when it was on top of the world, Roman Empire, everybody had to come to Rome for to get whatever they wanted. You know, and Rome was like ruling over these small, small kingdoms. And they had to come to Rome and get whatever they wanted and ask. So they say all roads lead to Rome. So here they say all roads lead to Bhagwan. Why? Because even if you do karma yoga, you go to Bhagwan, you do bhakti, you love God, you go to Bhagwan, you get the right knowledge, you go to Bhagwan, you do sannyas. So just as all roads lead to Rome, and it's so same way all these spiritual fields go to Bhagwan. So the example they give is there is a mountain, right? And now you want to go to the top of the mountain. So one person walks. He says, I don't have a car, I don't have anything, I have to walk. So it takes him 3 days. Another one has a car, and you know there is a road going up. So he's in 3 hours he reaches. One 3 days, 3 hours. And third one has a helicopter. So he takes off within 3 minutes, he's there, or 30 minutes, or whatever. So the goal of all three is the same, to reach the peak, but depending on their ability. A person walking will take him longer. A person who has a car, you know, less. A helicopter, within a few minutes, he's there. So similarly, what our level of evolution is. So, you know, we have to look at our ability. Just as you have to look at your ability. If you don't have a car, you cannot say, oh, I want to reach in 3 hours. No, it will take you 3 days. The same way, some people are more action-oriented. So they say, okay, you do karma yoga. Do dharma. Other person is bhakti-oriented, love for God. Then you say, you do bhakti yoga. Another person likes to read the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, all the texts, scriptures. Okay, you read. Another person likes to meditate. So all of the four paths, the path of knowledge, the path of service, the path of bhakti, path of meditation, all will take you to that same goal, ultimately. So see where you, what you are qualified at. You, somebody maybe likes to work. Okay, I'll do service. But constantly remember God when I'm working. I'm doing God's work and I'm his instrument and all that. Another person is very loving and affectionate. I love God. So sing bhajans and, you know, do the prayers and puja and all. Another person may have path of knowledge. Another person may want to meditate. But ultimately, all the three paths all meet together. Because if you love God, then you will serve God. And you will serve God, you will want to know. So bhakti, jnana, and karma. On the other hand, if I'm serving God, then I develop love for God, and then I want to know who God is. So ultimately, all the paths merge. So it's not that they are watertight compartments. But for that, you have to have love for God. So, like, suppose I tell somebody, okay, you come to my house, you work morning to evening, even stay up at night, and I won't pay you anything. You say, get out. What are you talking? But on the other hand, a mother will stay home all day, work morning to evening, without, you know, getting any specific pay. And she will even stay up at night if the child is sick. Why? Because she has love for the child. She has love for the family. So normally, if you ask somebody to come and work all day and night, you say, no, I'm not coming. You know, how much will I get paid? But mother doesn't tell the child, how much will I get paid if I stay up at night and give you medicine every hour? They don't ask for overtime and this and that. So when you love God, or when you love the path, then you are ready to work and do anything for God. So that's why they say, develop a really, just as the mother loves her child and she's ready to do anything for the child, even give up her sleep, her food. Sometimes if they don't have enough food, they don't have enough money, she will give food to the child and won't eat herself or eat less. So same way, sacrifice only happens when you have love. So same way, develop an attitude of love for Bhagwan, and then you say, okay, for Bhagwan, whatever I am required to do, I will do. And for that, a goal is very important. That my goal, what is my goal? And as we have said many times before, goal should be enlightenment. That in this lifetime, I would like to reach that. That is my goal. If I don't reach it, but I have to put in all the effort, because we don't know, you know, next life, we may not get the Bhagavad Gita, we may not get the teachings and all. So have the highest goal. Have the highest goal and the supreme goal of becoming one with God. And through, you can do it through service. I'm constantly remembering him when I work, or through love, I'm singing songs and doing pujas and prayers, or through knowledge that, you know, aham brahmasmi, that there is only one om, one consciousness. And all of us are that, you know, that. So again, oneness with God, oneness with everyone. So having that idea, then that kind of goal, then the work becomes easy. Once I have that goal, they say that enlightenment, once you make the goal, it's a lifetime goal, you know, and it just keep on doing it, and ho jayega, you know, God will take care of it. You just surrender to God and then let him decide when we are qualified, and he will give it to us. So we can end here by showing that there is karma yoga, and then karma sannyas, and then sankhya, the path of highest knowledge. So path of service, path of detachment, and path of the highest knowledge. And for that, one has to remain balanced in the pair of opposites. Do not hate, do not have too many desires, and put in full effort. And make Bhagwan my goal. That is how I will summarize. And it is a serial goal, serial progress. And ultimately, all roads lead to Rome. So all paths lead to Bhagwan. So whichever path you have taken, do it 100%. And sooner or later, automatically, you have done so much karma yoga, your mind will become so pure that you will be able to detach. You will be able to give up doership. So that's why they are not different. They are serial, one to follow to the other. We'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. Anybody has any questions, comments? Either in the hall here or on Zoom, if you have any questions. Krishna, you have anything you want to add? We kind of summarized it, but if you have anything else, you can unmute. You are not able to unmute. Are you able to unmute or no? Okay, let me call on it.
Yeah, now I can unmute. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hariom, Anilji, thank you very much. Okay. So Krishna teaches the paths of renunciation, Sankhya, and selfless action. Karma Yoga are not different. The wise see both as leading to the same goal.
Right.
So, although the methods are different, one through contemplation and other through action, both purify the mind and lead to realization of the self. The difference is mainly in temperament. Some reach truth through knowledge, others through action offered to God. So, all yogas converge at the same summit of realization.
Right. Thank you.
So, then the state is achieved by the followers of renunciation, Sankhya. Is also attained by the followers of Karma Yoga. So the one who sees both paths as one truly sees things as they are. So Krishna emphasizes that both paths, knowledge and action, lead to the same realization, unity with the self. The difference lies in approach, not in destination.
Yeah, thank you. One little correction I would like to make. Actually, there are three. There is Karma Yoga, there is Karma Sannyas, and there is Sankhya. So Karma Yoga is the path of action, Karma Sannyas is renunciation, and Sankhya is the highest knowledge of the scriptures, that I am that, you know. So these are, that's a stepwise.
That is, I am that means I
Karma
am.
Yoga, and between Karma Yoga and Sankhya, there is Karma Sannyas,
Okay.
where you give up the doership. You give up the doership.
So I
And
have
the
one question, Anilji, when you're talking about, so obviously we have four yogas, right? Like Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. So do you think Ramana Maharshi is more of a dhyana yoga?
Yes, he was just stayed in meditation for a long period of time. But he had the knowledge also. He somewhere he must have read, or the knowledge came to him through his meditation. But yeah, but he didn't go out and build bridges, or go out, give talks or nothing. He just stayed there, and two or three texts he composed. He did service too, but his service was very different. Just by his presence, he could serve the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kerry, you have a question?
I was wondering about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was wondering, is that a way of karma yoga?
Well, I think his was more bhakti, Chaitanya
More
Mahaprabhu.
bhakti. Okay. That makes
More.
sense. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was wondering, when you were talking about in verse 3 about desire, I'm not sure what verse it is in chapter 3, but they were talking about a jnani having being able to break the binding desires as opposed to non-binding desires. Is that what is meant here by liberation from bondage? Is liberation from binding desire?
I think any desire is out of incompleteness, but some desires will be just of the world. But if you are, that's not even a desire, that is your goal, enlightenment, then that is not really a desire. And that won't bind you. That won't bind you when your goal is Bhagwan. But generally, desires, when we talk about in the world, I need this, I need that, I want this, I want that, then those will bind you when they are done out of incompleteness.
I was just wondering how that, how this, is this the same idea as, I know chapter 3 started, talked about, basically controlling the senses
Right.
as a way to break the bondage of desire.
Exactly. So control the senses, because that is how your desires get fulfilled, through the senses. And also, when you're chasing desires, your mind becomes extrovert. And you cannot know God if you are extrovert. You can only know when you go inward, introvert. God is within, God is not outside.
I had one other question. Sankhya, is Sankhya sort of where Buddhism comes from?
No.
Comes it? No?
Is a couple. Sankhya means Sankhya. One is, of course, Sankhya is the philosophy of Kapil Muni, Purush and Prakriti. Sankhya also means counting. So when there is a systematic study of knowledge, that is called Sankhya. And the third meaning of Sankhya is the highest truth. So Sankhya can have three different meanings, actually, depending on the context. So you one word cannot, it cannot describe it 100%. And no, Buddhism was of detachment, where wrong understanding of Buddhism was good, but then later on people misunderstood and everybody started giving up. That's what happened in Tibet, where everybody was becoming a monk and very few people were working, and they had no army, no police. And the Chinese just walked in and took over. So that is a wrong idea of detachment. And we have been to Tibet and we have seen how miserably the people used to live, because they had no ambition, no desire. So masters don't tell us to live without ambition or without desire.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaḥ, sarve bhadrāṇi paśyantu, mā kaścit dukkhabhāg bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.